During 1995, we experienced many commemorations of the 50th anniversary of the end of World War II. For those of us who are veterans of this terrible conflict, these commemorations have been times of thoughtful reflection. It is interesting what memories stay with us year after year, long after the historic event happened. For example, while I was watching a recent TV documentary on the war, suddenly to my mind came an old green footlocker. Let me explain why the green footlocker left such an indelible impression on me. As I entered the mission field, I was blessed to be assigned to a very special senior companion. We had the privilege of laboring together for almost a year before a transfer occurred. With World War II raging, we knew that at the end of our missions, we would soon be called to military service. We both agreed that we would try to enlist in the Navy, with somehow our paths might cross as we served. Much to our surprise, on the first Sunday, as Marines, we ran into each other at a church service. Both of us had volunteered for the Marine Corps. When we had completed our boot camp, we were assigned to the 2nd Marine Division, and we were blessed to have our companionship last 3 more years. After the battle was over on the island to which our division was assigned, we were able to secure a tent for our church services. We made benches, a pulpit, a sacrament table out of any piece of lumber we could find. Under the sacrament table, we placed that special green foot locker. The foot locker was carried from island to island as the 2nd Marine Division completed its orders. The contents included a wooden plate, a wooden sacrament tray, and a card containing the sacrament prayers, and several boxes of small paper cups. When the battle was over and the island secured, many of the veterans in our division were rotated back home, including our leadership. My missionary companion was sustained as our group leader, and I was called to be his first assistant. The contents of the green footlocker represented all we held dear. As we gathered each week on the Lord's Day, opened our footlocker, and used the contents to prepare, bless, and pass the sacrament, it was a spiritual, an uplifting experience that renewed our faith and gave us hope for the days ahead. That special hour together each week removed from us the trials and hardships of everyday life. Even though the island had been secured, air raids continued. Soon our tent chapel was filled with many holes caused by shrapnel tearing through it. Because of the frequent tropical rains, it was uncomfortable to sit in a tent with so many holes in it. We determined that our meetings deserved better quarters, and through the efforts of the members of the church and the Marines, the Army, the Navy, and the Air Corps, we were able to obtain enough material to construct our own chapel on the island. Now the green footlocker was placed beneath a table in a dedicated building where we could meet and worship together. When our duties on the island were complete, we boarded a ship and moved on to another assignment. Our green footlocker remained in the chapel for others to use. I don't know its final destination, but I will always fondly remember that green footlocker. The Lord understood the need for his children to be reminded of the promises he has made to us. If we would obey his laws, in making such covenants, the Lord offered blessings in exchange for obedience to particular commandments. A plan was laid out for us from the very beginning. The central figure in his plan of salvation is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. His atoning sacrifice for all mankind is the centerpiece of history of our Father in Heaven's children here on earth. Each of us who accepts his divine plan must accept the role of our Savior and covenant to keep his laws that he has developed for us. As we accept him in spirit and in deed, we may win our salvation. We read in the Scriptures, "Wherefore thou shalt do all that thou doest in the name of the Son, and thou shalt repent and call upon God in the name of the Son forevermore." Is it any wonder that the Lord from the very beginning wanted to keep his plan firmly fixed in the minds of his children here on earth? Among the laws given to Adam and Eve, the law of sacrifice was instituted to remind them of the great event that would occur in the meridian of time. And he gave unto them commandments that they should worship the Lord their God, and they should offer the firstlings of their flock for an offering unto the Lord. And Adam was obedient unto the commandments of the Lord. And after many days, an angel of the Lord appeared unto Adam, saying, "Why dost thou offer sacrifices unto the Lord?" And Adam said unto him, "I know not, save the Lord commanded me." And then the angel spake, saying, "This thing is a similitude of the sacrifice of the only begotten of the Father, which is full of grace and truth." From that time onward until the Savior came to earth, whenever the priesthood was present, men offered sacrifices to remind him of the time when the Son of Man would come to earth to make the supreme sacrifice for all of us. The blessing of the atonement of the Lord, our Lord and Savior, is that each of us has the privilege of enjoying immortality. Shortly before his crucifixion in the upper room in Jerusalem, Jesus ate the Last Supper with his chosen 12. The book of Matthew gives us an account of what occurred at this special Last Supper. "And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body.' And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, 'Drink ye all of it. This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of the fruit of this vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." Joseph F. Smith said this of the institution of the sacrament: "It was instituted by the Savior in place of the law of sacrifice, which was given to Adam and which continued with his children down to the days of Christ, but which was fulfilled in his death, he being the great sacrifice for sin, for which the sacrifices enjoyed in the law given to Adam were a similitude." Shortly after Joseph Smith and Oliver Cowdery received the priesthood from heavenly messengers in 1829, they were shown in Revelation how they should proceed to organize the church here again on earth. In the Doctrine and Covenants, section 20 gives us the reason for this specific date: "The rise of the Church of Christ in these last days being 1,830 years since the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in the flesh, it being regularly organized and established, agreeable to all the laws of the country by the will and commandments of God, in the fourth month, on the sixth day of the month, which is called April." Peter Whitmer Sr. offered his home for the organization that was scheduled for Tuesday, April 6th, 1830, in accordance with previously received revelations. At the appointed hour, somewhere around 60 people assembled to witness the formal organization of the Church of Jesus Christ. The meeting was simple. Joseph Smith, then 24 years of age, called the group to order and designated five associates: Oliver Cowdery, Hiram Smith, Peter Whitmer Jr., Samuel H. Smith, and David Whitmer, to join him to meet New York's legal requirements for the incorporation of a religious society. After kneeling in solemn prayer, Joseph asked those present if they were willing to accept him and Oliver as their teachers and spiritual advisors. Everyone raised their hand to the affirmative. Although they had previously received the Melchizedek priesthood, Joseph and Oliver ordained each other to the office of elder. They did this to signify that they were elders in the newly organized church. The sacrament of the Lord's Supper was administered next. The restoration of the gospel clarified the use and meaning of the sacrament, which through dark periods of the apostasy had suffered many perversions. By revelation, the members of the church were counseled. It is expedient that the church meet together often to partake of the bread and wine in remembrance of the Lord Jesus. With the partaking of the sacrament, we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior and obligate ourselves to keep his commandments by covenant. This makes the partaking of the sacrament a renewal of the covenants we made at the time of baptism into the church. Thus, by the sacrament, we declare repeatedly, ordinarily that is weekly, our allegiance to the plan of salvation and its obligations and blessings. As we come to our sacrament meeting, we should prepare ourselves to partake of the sacrament worthily. Paul counseled us, "But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself." President Brigham Young, speaking of the sacrament, said, "Its observance is as necessary to our salvation as any other of the ordinances and commandments that have been instituted in order that people may be sanctified." As members of the church, we should delight in the privilege of partaking of the sacrament and thereby affirming our faith in our Lord and Savior and our allegiance to the Church of Jesus Christ. In addition, the Lord promises that if we will keep by our covenants, we will always have his Spirit to be with us. President David O. McKay has reminded us in these words of our obligations to prepare to partake of the sacrament weekly. "My brothers and sisters, do we stop to think on the sacred Sabbath day when we meet together to partake of the sacrament, that we witness, promise, and obligate ourselves in the presence of one another and in the presence of God, that we will do certain things? Note them. First, that we are willing to take upon ourselves the name of the Son. In so doing, we choose him as our leader and as our ideal. He is the perfect character in all the world. Second, that we will always remember him, not just on Sunday, but on Monday and the other days of the week, in our daily acts, in our self-control. Third, we promise to keep his commandments, which he has given: tithing, fast offering, word of wisdom, thankfulness, forgiveness, love. The obligations of members of the Church of Jesus Christ is great, and it is as glorious as it is great, because obedience to these principles gives life, eternal life, order, reverence, attention to divine promises, the promise to enter into the fold of Christ, to cherish virtue mentioned in the gospel of Christ, to keep them ever in mind, to love the Lord wholeheartedly, and to labor even at the sacrifice of self for the brotherhood of man. These are the kindred virtues associated with partaking of the sacrament. It is good to meet together, and especially to renew our covenants with God in the Holy Sacrament. That old Greek footlocker will always have a special place in my heart, because even in one of the most trying periods of my life, I was able to receive spiritual renewal for the days ahead as I would partake of the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. Over the many, many years I've had the privilege of attending sacrament meetings, whether in times of peace or conflict, periods of joy or sorrow, periods of stress or relative ease. Partaking of the sacrament has been a time of thoughtful reflection on the blessings the Lord has given to me at a time and a time to covenant with Him, to live His law and His gospel. I encourage each of you to be faithful in your attendance at sacrament meeting. The Lord has promised, if you will partake of the sacrament worthily, He will bless you with the peace of mind that can only come from knowing that you are participating in His divine plan. I also promise each of you that if you will receive special blessings He has promised you here on earth and in the eternities to come, according to your faithfulness. This is my witness to you, in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.